and welcome to We Care with Rebecca Fuller, the podcast that celebrates carers and offers an insight into the many complexities, challenges, and rewards of being a carer. I'm your host, Rebecca Fuller, Dementia and Carers Advocate, and on each episode, I have the privilege of interviewing an amazing superhero who has experience of being a carer. And welcome to the third episode. Yay! We made it to three episodes. If you're listening to this episode on the day of release or week of release, then I think we're in around week seven of lockdown now. And that's for people that are living in the UK. So just wanted to say, I really hope you're all doing as okay as you can. It's a really difficult time. It's very strange circumstances that we're living in, and whatever you need to do to get through such a challenging period, then I hope that you're able to do it. So from me to you, really hope you're all doing okay. On the show today, I have a friend of mine, Charlotte Karp. She's also my former boss. We worked at a housing association together in Sussex, where we supported people over 65 in housing facilities and care home environments. So it's a really, really emotionally demanding job, but so wonderful. And I think I speak for both myself and Charlotte when I say every day we were really happy about going into work, because we know we had such lovely jobs and we met such wonderful people along the way. So it was a really good experience for both of us. My title was actually engagement and partnerships. So it sounded like I worked at a dating agency. I didn't, but I thought the title was quite cool, so I kept it. And Charlotte is here today to talk about her mum, who has PCA, which is short for posterior cortical atrophy, a rarer form of dementia. So I thought it'd be really interesting for her to share the experience she's had of living with a parent who is going through symptoms and challenges of living with something that is deemed to be quite rare. So let's get on with the show. Hello, Charlotte, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Would you like to share with our listeners any memories from the time that we worked together?
I think probably one of the ones that I could think that I remember the best is when we opened our cafe. And that was a whole new skill set for both you and I to learn, when we were normally used to managing properties and development and services, was learning about coffee, beans, cakes and afternoon tea. Oh, and how to use the till in a coffee machine, which was at times extremely hilarious, but a great, really, really great experience for our residents. So, yeah, that was super fun.
Oh, it definitely was a lot of fun. I don't think I ever got the hang of making those coffees, though.
No, I wouldn't say you were our first class barista, but your enthusiasm made up for it.
Exactly. I just liked being behind the till, giving people their cakes.
And roast dinners, I think, became number one in the area in the cafe. So I think we did all right. We played a blinder there.
Wow. I didn't actually know that. That's so good. Oh, I miss our little cafe, to be honest.
Yeah, it was really great fun.
It was a lot of fun. So you're here today to talk about your lovely mum.
Yes.
And your mum was diagnosed with PCA, so a rarer form of dementia. Can you just tell us a bit more about the condition?
So I'd worked in providing care services, and I'd worked in an organisation providing support for older people for quite a long time, and I would consider myself to be someone who was fairly well acquainted with dementia, but I had never actually heard of PCA, which is posterior cortical atrophy, ever before. It's quite a rare form of dementia, but it's one of also the young onset dementias. So you can actually be affected by PCA and its system symptoms from the age of 40, which is really, really unfortunate. And it's a type of dementia, but what it does is it doesn't affect your memory. It affects the back area of your brain, and it affects your visuospatial processing. So it affects how you are able to see things and interpret things. So it's very, very different. So symptoms will often be, they'll present themselves in someone's behavior. So somebody might lose the ability to read. They'll lose the ability to be able to drive, to judge spaces. They will become lost quite easily. So it's really, really quite a different set of symptoms to lots of other different types of dementia.
And when your mum first started showing signs, did you think that it could be dementia, or because it was different symptoms like you've mentioned, did you think it could be something else?
So yes, my mum retired very, very suddenly, and sort of out of the sort of life plan that her and my dad had when she was 57. So we now know, and she has subsequently said that she retired early because she was starting to fail at her job. So she was an assistant head teacher in South London, so quite a high pressure job. She started to lose skills. So she wasn't able to organise herself. She was losing the ability. She thought, and we all thought, that she had a problem with her eyes. And she actually did go as far as to have a cataract replacement operation. And that apparently is not unusual at all in sufferers of PCA, because of its rarity and people not being very aware of it, people are often diagnosed with a problem with their eyesight first. And I think initially I would describe my mum's behaviour as very odd. Yeah, I thought that she was actually perhaps, I spent a lot of time thinking about it. I thought perhaps she's got a brain tumour, perhaps she's going through some sort of midlife crisis, because her behaviour would present itself extremely differently. You know, my mum as a head teacher, she was quite strict, disciplinarian, British, culturally British, sort of head down, carry on, you know, just get on with things, don't complain. But her behaviour changed dramatically, and has continued to do so ever since that sort of she retired 10 years ago. So yeah, we definitely at the beginning didn't think it was dementia, but then for quite a long time, I think I was a standout person in my family saying that I did think mum had dementia, not because the symptoms were of your typical Alzheimer memory type problems, but because of some of the experiences I had with her, really.
And how long was it before she was diagnosed that you expressed those feelings to your family, that you thought that she might have dementia?
So I think we started talking about problems with mum maybe a year or two after she retired, so perhaps 8 or 9 years ago. And I think I would sort of explain to people, you know, strange occurrences that had happened, or I dropped her off at the supermarket, and then when I was trying to find her, she hadn't remembered the place that we'd agreed to meet. I was trying to give her directions over the phone. She was totally lost in the town that she'd lived in for 20 years. But I think my family, you know, my dad was very busy, had a very busy job. He was traveling all over the country. He wasn't sort of experiencing some of that day-to-day stuff with her. So I think people put it down to me making a bit of a fuss actually at the beginning, or perhaps being overly dramatic, which to be fair is in my personality. I am capable of being overly dramatic. But it was definitely something I was experiencing, as, you know, there was something wrong. Couldn't put my finger on it.
I do remember when we worked at the Housing Association, we did have quite a few conversations,
yeah,
didn't we, about the possibility. And you definitely expressed to me that you thought something was going on. And that was quite a while ago. So yeah. It took quite a few years then for her to get the diagnosis.
Took a very long time. And I think part of that was her, because my mum's got a very strong personality, and she didn't want to engage with health professionals
being able to sit down and talk to my mum about or saying to her, do you think you have dementia, was not going to be something that I was able to do, or anyone else in my family, because she just wouldn't have tolerated it. So it did actually take, quite a long time, and it took such a long time that her symptoms by that point were actually quite severe by the time she was prepared to be cooperative about talking to health professionals. I think at the same time that we thought mum's behaviour was changing, you know, my mum was really afraid. She was only 57 when she retired. She found that she couldn't read. You know, she thought that maybe she was going mad. You know, so it was a really, really scary time for her, and even more scary because she felt she couldn't really share that with anybody, which is really sad.
That sounds like such a sad and challenging situation to be in, especially at the young age as well. So it must have been very frightening. Do you remember what the turning point was that she then said, actually, like you mentioned, that she cooperated and did want to go and speak to someone about it?
She became, symptoms got worse, so she became less and less capable. So I've been looking after mum every week for the last 4 years now, this summer, 4 years. So at the beginning we knew, you know, she stopped being able to get the train, she couldn't get around so much, she would have some sort of odd help here and there, but she needed more and more support. So there became a point where she couldn't use her bank card, so she couldn't get any cash out. So she knew that she couldn't be independent anymore, because if she couldn't get the train, she could still phone up a taxi and get a taxi somewhere. So she would have, she'd be quite creative in creating some little workarounds. But when it got to that point where she really realised that she couldn't be independent any longer, and I think deep down she knew there was something wrong, but it must be terribly frightening to think, what might that be? I also think that both my parents didn't know very much about dementia, and I think that they both thought it was a bit of a death sentence, and something to be quite ashamed about. Whereas actually that's not the case, and you can live very well with dementia, as lots and lots of other people do.
And just following on from that point, how do you think your mum or your dad look at dementia now? Do you think that's changed, or is your mum, now she's living in it, she's been living with it for a very long time, does she still feel it is that death sentence that she perceived previously?
Mum's probably, her symptoms are too far along now for her to be totally sort of able to think about it in that way. But I know that, you know, when she does have a day, that she certainly feels very sad. So she, there's some part of her that realises what this has taken away from her. I think my dad was not really exposed to dementia at all, so he has a much broader understanding of dementia, that you can live well with dementia, and all of the extreme challenges you face when you... My dad is now my mum's full-time carer, so, you know, he has experienced some significant challenges and really managed them incredibly well.
Can you talk to us about some of those challenges?
So I think it's been really, really difficult to get to grips with losing the person that you love. They change incredibly, but they lose their independence. And whilst losing their independence is really, really frustrating for them, that means that someone else has got to manage and to provide that support and do those things for that person. So that changes other people's lives too. People who care for someone who can't be that independent for themselves, that means that their lives change incredibly.
And you said before about that you've been spending time with your mum for the last 4 years, you've been doing things for her.
Yeah.
And how has that impacted your life, would you think?
Do you know, I felt very lucky actually that I was able to get a job that would enable me to continue to work in a sector that I love, but also be able to be there more for mum and provide that care and support. And I suppose sometimes when you're in it, you just get on with it. But I think, you know, I will look back and be very grateful that I was able to spend that time with her. But it has been, a rapid change, you know, from the time when we could still go to the shops and have a coffee together, whereas, you know, that something like that's not possible anymore. So she cannot be left alone at all, because she become very disorientated and very, very upset. So it's changed over those last 4 years, but I'm glad to have been able to have spent the time.
Oh, well, that sounds really good. And I'm really glad that you have been able to spend that time with her. Something that you shared with me a while ago was an experience you had when you were going on a small trip with your mum and other family, and it didn't quite turn out the way you all wanted it to turn out. So I just wondered if you would mind sharing that experience with us.
Absolutely. So we had a little weekend to Bath planned, and we wanted to spend that time together as a family. At the time, what we didn't realise was my mum was actually experiencing a psychotic episode because of a UTI. But none of myself and my family have never been exposed to someone experiencing a psychotic episode. We didn't know what was going on. So it drastically and dramatically changed my mum's behaviour. We decided we still wanted to go on this short break. I suppose we were all, looking back on it now, we were all desperately clinging on to the fact that normal mum would pop up somewhere. But actually she didn't. She was incredibly unwell at that time. So she was an extremely high level of panic. She was very paranoid. I remember we stopped at the petrol services on the way down to the hotel, and my dad had an argument with a lady in the petrol station. I don't think it was the lady in the petrol station's fault at all. I think my dad was just at the absolute end of his tether and on his last nerve. And I can't even remember what had happened, but this poor lady got it in Costa Coffee anyway. So we got down to Bath and we got to the Premier Inn, and I think we'd been there about an hour. And my mum was just, she was just too unwell to be able to manage. So we literally had to get back in the car and take her home again. She was just incredibly upset and we had no idea how to cope.
It just sounds so traumatic for you all. And
I think so. Yeah. I think my mum with, you know, whatever was going on in her head, and then for everybody else, you know, it was traumatic to see her like that. It was a really... I think until you've had the lived experience of somebody going through that, you can read about it, but experiencing it in the flesh is really something else.
Yeah, definitely. I think it almost sounds almost like a parallel universe that you were in, yeah, in that time.
Yeah, I think so. And I just can't imagine what that would be like for her, for that to be my reality. You know, I always try and remember, or to at least try and think, whatever I'm going through, imagine what it must be like for her. It must be worse.
Yeah, it's definitely hard for you all. And I think with this type of dementia, it's just very daunting for your mum. So do you and your family access any support or care at the moment?
We've sort of managed on our own up until the point that mum had this psychotic episode last April. And we then did get the dementia crisis team in, because, you know, that was just far too much for us to manage. You know, mum did need to be medicated. If she'd been agreeable, they wanted to hospitalise her at that point. And we as a family have been quite against that. But at that point, we absolutely would have agreed, because, you know, she really was just so unwell. I think when mum had the diagnosis, I think we found the support provided by specialist services very disappointing. So we probably found that a bit of a turn off. I mean, if I think back to the support when she actually got the diagnosis, it was incredibly cookie cutter, not personalised at all, not delivered by somebody with any lived experience. And to be honest, it was a bit patronising. And you know, I'm probably someone who's very good at following the rules and getting on with doing what I'm told to. So we sat there and we listened to this person. But on reflection, and I remember walking out of that session with my arm full of leaflets about Alzheimer's disease, which is not what my mum had, felt really angry, and I felt like it was a bit degrading and not a supportive experience or helpful experience at all. So we went home. No, I didn't have any support. I think we didn't even have any contact from her GP for over a year. So we just went home and got on and managed by ourselves. I think when symptoms started to really decline and get much more challenging, I sought out my own help and support. So there is an organisation called the Rare Dementia Support Organisation in London, who are absolutely amazing. And they support people and their carers with PCA and other rare forms of dementia. And also I found social media a really great help and support, because I was able to find groups for carers, one for daughters of people with PCA. And I was able, at one time, I did find that very helpful to be able to chat to people specifically, you know, and you know, sometimes just to think, well, people in America, people in Australia, you know, people are going through the same experience. You know, perhaps I'd go one day and I'd have a really awful experience with my mum, something really upsetting would have happened. And I think as a carer also, you know, I'd had in my head this vision that, you know, if mum ever needed care, she was never going to go in a care home, and I would be the good daughter who'd be able to provide that care for my mum every day of the week, and I'd be really good at that. But actually, I was not really very good at that. I found it really challenging. I found myself being quite impatient, and I found myself feeling guilty about that. I felt, you know, so there was a lot of stuff for me as well going on that was helpful to reach out and speak to other people. However, I don't think I would have found any of that help and support in the sort of more traditional dementia support circles. I do think there's more support and developing for support for young onset dementia now. I can see that that's coming on. But, you know, referral pathways in our local community would have been for my mum to go to the Elderberries dementia daycare service. You know, my mum was 62 at the time. She didn't consider herself to be an old person with Alzheimer's. And I can't really repeat what she told me when I said, would she like to go to the Elderberries daycare dementia service? No, she wouldn't, because she's a 62-year-old woman. Why would she want to do that? So I think there were some challenges along from that experience. But equally, there's lots out there, but sometimes you have to be prepared to put the work in. And I think there are lots of those services that are also extremely good, and if that works for you, that's great. But you have to think about what's right for you, what's personal for you, what's going to work for that person. And my mum's never been, you know, to a youth club or joined a club or done anything like that. I don't see why she'd suddenly start when she was in her 60s. So we did last year get support from the medical team, the dementia crisis team. They were absolutely fantastic. Absolutely amazing. That was probably our first exposure to community mental health services, and they were extremely good. When she was sort of discharged from that psychotic episode, though, we couldn't access that team any longer, which was a shame, because we're all human, you develop relationships with people, so it was a shame that we weren't able to continue those relationships. But we have had some fantastic support. My mum's current medical team, who come out and visit her in the community, are great, and we have had some sort of sustainability with one person, so she knows that person's name, and that's important, and that makes a difference, because that means that I don't have to have an argument with her for an hour before this person comes about letting this person cut through the door, because she knows them and she likes them, which makes a big, big difference, which is good. So we've had some good experience, but we've also had some very bad experience, you know, some not very personal, bit more cookie cutter type stuff. Yeah,
cookie cutter, it's a new term. I'm gonna drop that into a conversation with someone.
Excellent. I'm glad I could inspire you. Yeah.
So I'm sorry that, you know, it's not been the most easiest process for you, and that it is about it's being that proactive person all the time to find the things that are almost sometimes hidden away. So that's yes. really, really tough. I know yeah. you and your family have done, you know, you've done so much to try and make this experience as positive as it can be.
Yes. And I think one thing that was really nice last week, actually, I know everybody's locked down and no one can get out of their house at the moment, but we found online a deliver to your house afternoon tea. So we sent that over to mum and dad for Easter because I have... Yeah. Well, everybody stepped back, obviously, because of health concerns. But I did see some photos of my mum, and she really did enjoy afternoon tea. I think she thought she was in a posh, fancy hotel, so she probably had a better afternoon than my dad did.
Amazing! And did they have scones with cream and jam? And
yes, a lovely company. Plus, it delivered it: scones and cream and jam and cakes and finger sandwiches. So. It was lovely. So I think you've always got to just try and find what's the best possible thing you can do. And there was a period of time, week after week after week, where I just thought, I'm going up to the Marks and Spencer's cafe, we're getting a coffee, we're doing our shopping. It, you know, the things are a bit of a routine. And I sort of thought, oh, the lady at Marks and Spencer's knows my order and knows what we're going to do. And I sort of thought, oh God, I wonder if, you know, I'm doing enough. Is this too boring for her? But actually, do you know, I think she really enjoyed those days. And, you know, now that I look back, when she would not be capable of doing that, I'm glad we did get to do those things, you know, even if it was week after week after week. So I'm pleased that I could provide just a little bit of enrichment to make things a bit nicer for her on some of those days.
Oh, well, I think you are and have done such an awesome job over the last few years. And I know there's been a lot of worry and concern, and not just for your mum, but for your other family as well, like, you know, thinking about your dad, and obviously you want to make sure that he's okay. So I think that seems to then add another level of concern and worry. So I think you've all done so
think it
well.
Does. And you always, you know, I always think, oh, I hope, you know, my dad stays safe and well, because, you know, being somebody's full-time carer is more than a full-time job. It's 24 hours a day. And my sister has given up her job since last October to provide care for my mum and to give my dad a break. And she has been doing a brilliant job. And I can say that with my hand on my heart, because I know how difficult I find some of those days. But I think as a family, we have been lucky, because I know there are lots of people out there who don't get on with their families, or who are a bit estranged from their families. So I think in lots of ways, although we haven't engaged perhaps with wider public services and support, we've at least had each other, and we're quite practical. Even today, I sort of do the family ring round and say, right, I'm heading off to M&S. What do you need? So I can drop it off on the way back. So we just sort of get on with it like that.
Oh, that sounds really nice. And actually, before we started recording, Charlotte did actually tell me she's been to Wilko's as well today. And I didn't even know Wilko's was still open.
I can't tell you how excited I was to be in a shop today.
Wow, that even gives me excitement thinking about it. Something other than the supermarket. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Only for your essential purchases, mind.
Of course. So you've spoken about support you had, and I'm really pleased that there have been services for you, and you've managed to find things to do to make it as positive as it can be. But if you could just share any couple of tips or advice to other people in a similar position, what would you say?
I would definitely say, don't be too hard on yourself. You might have aspirations or a vision about how you will be when you're in a situation or you're providing care for someone. And for me, that was very, you know, how I envisaged myself, with a penny and little bluebirds flying around my head doing little tweets.
Ooh, very Mary Poppins.
Being the absolute Mary Poppins was not, you know, that is not me. And I wasn't able to deliver that. And I was quite hard on myself. So don't be too hard on yourself. You're doing your best. And just make it come back to doing the best for the person that you love and that you're taking care of. And what's going to make the biggest difference to them? I think those are the two bits of advice I would absolutely try and share.
Amazing. I think that's going to be really useful for people listening. And I really appreciate you sharing your story, because I think, as we both know, PCA is not something that's really spoken about, you know, in the wider society. So I think it's been really important to get that message out. So thank you so much, Charlotte.
You're welcome.
I hope you stay safe, stay happy, and I hope we go on holiday soon.
Oh, absolutely. Me too.
Woo!
Thank you so much for listening to We Care with Rebecca Fuller. If you enjoyed the episode, please can you rate, review and subscribe, and really help get the message out there to other carers that they are not alone. You can also get in touch with me at info@rebeccafuller.co.uk or visit my blog at rebeccafuller.co.uk. Have a great week!